Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with the person that's in charge of all of our clinical happenings here at New Life, Becky Brown. Hey, Becky.
Hi, Steve.
Dr. Jill Hubbard will be in here. She's not late. She's not parking her car. Nothing. She's just... She's just coming.
So we need coffee.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, we have a really amazing thing happening here because this is our President's Association weekend. Larry has had a hard time making friends, and so
yes.
We developed a whole organization around him, and some of our great supporters and committed and dedicated folks are here in the studio with us today. So welcome to all you fabulous, fun-filled supporters of, of New
it's
Life.
It's like a live audience, and, right, on New Life Live.
Yeah, it really is. So there's Jill. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
I have to make a comment. You know, we are so committed to being a politically free zone. But, you know, the Supreme Court did make a decision that everybody in America is entitled to marry someone of the same sex. And I was just reading a statement from those that are pretty excited about that ruling. And the statement said that they were able finally to successfully bend the moral arc of the universe. Mm. And I was just thinking that that really isn't possible. To do that, you really can't do that. It's either truth or not truth. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I understand the struggle that people go through and the unique situation that someone is in, and mm-hmm. and many people would attest to that struggle. And we've seen many people find a different way to live mm-hmm. than in the midst of that ongoing obsession or that ongoing desire. We've seen people do that, mm-hmm. and we've also seen people not do that. All I can say is this, that we are a ministry. We have a lot of folks that listen to us, and they are gay or lesbian or transsexual, and we love them, we appreciate them, we're thankful that they listen. But, you know, I do have to say that I regret that our country said that the Bible really isn't totally true. I mean, that's essentially what has been said, is that not everything that you read, you take at face value. Mm-hmm. And I really believe when you get to the true truth of what God intended Scripture to mean, I think he meant that a man and a woman were to get married. Now, we live in a country where that is not a value that's upheld by a certain amount of people, enough people that we have, as the court has decided, will make room for them to mm-hmm. be married. But that doesn't change our belief in the truth and the foundation of the Bible for all things that right. we do. In my mind, when you take one little area of the Bible and say, well, that, you know, when you think about that teaching, not really, it's not really valid or whatever, then you have to discount all of it. Now, I'm not talking about cultural laws. There are all sorts of cultural laws that don't apply in Scripture, and I'm not talking about ceremonial laws that we don't use, but I'm talking about the moral laws of Scripture. I uphold those to the nth degree. And having said that, though, I expect the world who does not believe in the God of the universe that we believe in or accept Jesus as the Savior of the world, I expect them to be confused or disagree. Mm-hmm. I love them. I care about them deeply. And it's not my place to judge non-believers and where they are. We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Becky Brown, and all of the folks part of the President's Association. Yeah, I've got a lot of people in here, and we're going to spend all weekend together here. And they'll be hearing from our radio hosts this weekend, and they're just folks we love to be with. We love to be with everybody, but we take this time just to spend some time with some very special people. But right now, I am going to talk with Carol from Cleveland, Ohio. She's called us at 1-800-229-3000. Hi, Carol. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm well. How are you?
Doing okay. And what's going on in your life today, Carol?
Okay, well, first of all, I am so thankful for your ministry. My marriage was saved through your book, and my husband did Every Man's Battle back in January of 2014 after having been separated from me for a year, and then we went to the couples one, and I went to the Every Women's Battle, and I think you have the most important ministry out there, so to get that out of the way.
That's awesome.
Well, that's it's hard to beat being the most important ministry. Yeah. I'll take that, and so thank you for that. So you've been to three workshops.
Trifecta.
Oh, yes.
So I think once you go to three, all problems are fixed.
That's right.
So that's great. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure you're calling just to tell us how perfect life is going.
He has done very well. He claims that his sexual purity is a non-issue for him. He takes his weekly calls every week with the counselor, which I'm so thankful for. He is really into Every Man's Battle. However, the thing that has happened recently is that I've come to realize that he is still pathologically lying to me.
Yeah, okay.
I know that kind of goes with the whole sexual and porn addiction thing, but we just recently got Jason's book, which I'm so thankful for, and we've been reading it, and we got to the chapter on honesty the other night, and so I used that opportunity to say, okay, we just read this chapter, and so I questioned him about something that I knew he had been lying to me about, and he continued to lie even after we read the chapter on how important it is to not do that. And so I feel now that I can never believe anything that comes out of his mouth. He actually makes up scenarios and makes up these elaborate lies.
Yeah. The question would be, does he know he's lying while he's doing it or not?
Well, yes, he does.
Okay.
We had a counseling session last night. I've made him move into another bedroom, and I'm wondering if I've gone too far.
I'll see what Jill and Becky think. But, you know, when you have a history of lying, when you're lying often, and it'd really be easier if you just told the truth, that's a really tough path or pathway that gets formed in the brain. And, You know, the first thing, if I was counseling him, of course, it would cause major other problems. But if I was just talking to him about this, I would say, you know, the first thing that you're going to have to be able to do is catch yourself saying something that isn't exactly the truth. And at that exact second, say, wait, that's really not, that's not true. I didn't say that. Maybe that'd be another way he could say it. I didn't say it exactly the way I wanted to say it. And that's just going to take some time to even get him there. So my thought would be that since change and sanctification and all of those things does take time, my thought would be maybe you did overreact, and I'm really excited you guys are talking about this, and it's on the table that even though he's complying and doing all the stuff he needs to do, his character and his ability to tell the truth isn't there. But let's hear from Jill.
Well, it is interesting. And does he lie? Like the types of things he lies about? Is it just things that are benign that really?
Oh no! Okay. No. He lied about a text message with his other woman a few months ago that I found out that he was being deceptive with me about.
Okay. So it's not just that he lies about every little thing. He's still engaged in his addiction.
Right.
Well, no, he's not having any sexual contact with this person.
But he's talking to him. I understand that.
He lied to me about it. Okay.
Right, I understand that. But the fact that he is texting her and having any contact at all with her.
Right.
It's like he's jumped into EMB and he's doing it wholeheartedly and it's great, but then he's reserved, you know, this little pocket or a closet that he keeps to himself.
Well, it's not just lying. I mean, you know, it's one thing to not be able to tell the truth, but he's doing some stuff that isn't healthy, and that's something you have to deal with immediately.
Well, my question too, Carol, is how long have, you know, you went to all the different workshops, but what time period are we talking about here? Like 6 months?
He's been home, in my home, back home for about 18 months. I do know the text was just all he said was thank you because she said happy birthday.
It doesn't require any response from
him.
Yeah,
see, that's where we would really want him
to. The point is he lied to me about it.
Right, exactly.
Right. You're right. If he had said, oops, I probably shouldn't have done that. Here, I want to be up front with you and show you that she texted me this, so I said thank you.
So ask him.
Yeah, he did not.
Ask him two questions. One, did you admit to your weekly group that you, rather than not respond to happy birthday, that you did respond, and that's an addictive behavior. Mm-hmm. It's part of it. Mm-hmm. And secondly, did you tell him that you lied to me about it? Now, if he said, you know what, I did, and then he's not lying about that, then that'd be a really good sign. See, that would say there's some progress here.
Well, I caught him, so he had to.
Yeah, so he didn't disclose. So, it was discovery.
But that would also say that he's working on it, but it's still hard to admit to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the question is, is he dealing with truth? Is he dealing with truth with his group, or is that just another place for him to look better than he's really doing?
Right, which I don't know. I don't know.
So talk to him about that.
Those conversations. Yeah.
And tell him that you really do want to be in the same bedroom, and a sign that you could be in the same bedroom would be him telling you either that did happen and all about it, or telling you after this next phone conversation with everybody how you explained it and told it and what you're going to do about it.
You know, too, the path to addiction is sometimes bumpy. And one of the things that, you know, you would think that he would just be so grateful to be back home and, okay, I'll do everything right. But usually that's not the case, that they kind of, you know, go with some protest. And part of that protest is kind of holding on to a sense of privacy. When you have abused a privilege, you lose your right to privacy, right? That would be what you would lose.
Right.
And so, you know, to have to be completely above board, you know, like really transparent is something completely different than he's ever done.
Right.
But that's the consequence of his deception.
So I just want to add one thing, because we just came off of a Women in the Battle workshop weekend, just this past weekend. And, you know, Carol, the importance of community for you. So we're talking about your husband's need to, you know, do his work, but you know how valuable it is for you to have women around that you can connect with on this. Do you have that in place?
I go to a separate lady counselor,
But do you have some girlfriends, like people who know your struggle and can hear your concern and know you? Because that's really, because, you know, that's an important thing, because when you're having to put a boundary in and he rejects that, it affects how you feel, and it's a cycle that needs to be broken.
Okay, so Carol, I hope you will let us talk to you about getting involved, even if it's just the website there.
Oh, yeah, womeninthebattle.com.
And then maybe you could join up with Sustained Healing, just like he's doing, with Sustained Victory. I want to send you Every Man's Marriage to Give to Him. You already have Worthy of Her Trust, so that's great. And again, it's just all about how committed to the truth he is. But, man, I'll tell you, the greatest gift any recovering sex addict or any recovering pornography-dependent person can give a spouse is to say, I will under no circumstances have any contact with anybody that I've ever been in contact with revolving around this for any reason.
Right, and that's a perfect example of temptation. Temptation will come along. What are you going to do with it?
And it's an amazingly painful act of betrayal to somebody that's already been hurt. So. Okay, let's go to Charles from Charlotte, North Carolina. Listens on the podcast. How you doing?
Hello, how are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to talk to you about a situation with my wife. We've been married over 20 years. She was molested as a child, abandoned by her father, abused by her mother. We are soon approaching the time our child's going to leave for college. It's going to be just me and her again. We live together pretty much as roommates. That's pretty much it. She has many of just the classic symptoms of an abused person. She just lives in a shell. She can be controlling. I had allowed myself to be beat down over the years. You know, she has to be dominant, have the last word. I kind of came out of that a few years ago. I just got tired of it. She has, she can just spend hours and hours surfing the internet, just anything to kind of stay in that jail. Her health is just pretty poor. I have a lot of health problems. And on my end, if, you know, as long as I want to pretend everything's just kind of be dumb and pretend everything's okay, everything's fine. I try to get into it, you know. I get pretty angry at God. I've been furious at him over the years.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the question for us, Charles? I think we get it. It's a very sad situation.
Yes. Is there anything I can do to change the situation? What can I do? How can I even cope with it?
Yeah.
If it doesn't change.
Well, you've been trying to cope with it, and so it's just kind of stayed the same in coping with it.
Yes.
So I suspect that, you know, she's not going to be willing to just jump in and do something to fix herself. And so
she has done some counseling.
Okay.
But that's kind of trickled off.
Yeah.
Continue.
Would she be open to anything for the two of you, though?
I've offered that thus far. She has not.
Yeah.
So, Charles, I have a question. When was the last time you had an argument or a fight with her? Like, where you were engaged? You were talking about being roommates and just kind of living parallel lives. Even if it's an argument, when was the last time that you were engaged in a conversation about this trouble?
Well, as far as an argument over this trouble, it's been years. Because it just doesn't come up. Briefly, a few weeks ago, I approached her and talked about it a little bit. Apologized to her for being so angry at times, you know, that she couldn't help what happened to her as a child. And, you know, just to try to kind of open the door a little bit. And we had a brief conversation about it. She seemed understanding, but that's as far as it went.
So has she ever said to you what she needs from you?
No.
And that's been okay for you to kind of, like, you guys get into that kind of roommate situation? Like, we just don't ask, don't tell, let's just, you know, stay.
Well, there's kind of like unspoken rules.
Exactly.
That we're just not going to touch this.
We're not going
right?
there.
Well, Charles, you're the ultimate disappointment because you didn't heal it. Mm. And she was expecting you to do what Dad didn't do or anybody else didn't do. That was the expectation of marriage. We will get married. I mean, all of us
right.
have
and then these
things
problems will
that
go
we
away.
Think marriage is going to
well,
make
I'm
better.
I'm
and here's a huge wound that she thought mm-hmm. you would make better, and you didn't do it. And you couldn't have done it. So you probably feel horrible about yourself and her, and she probably resents you more than you could ever even imagine for things that you've never done.
Yes,
so we're going to try to give you some help right after this, okay?
Okay.
All right, you hang on. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. And if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And you can find out about Healing is a Choice. I'll read you a testimony from that right after this.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out.
I, coming here, was an empty shell.
I don't want people to think that you have to be just desperate to come. It's for people who don't know what to do next.
To open up to 8 different strangers was actually a relief. And so much got off my shoulders. And I feel so much lighter now. And I feel so much better. And I feel like I can give so much more to other people. And I don't feel ashamed. And I don't feel like I'm damaged goods.
I have learned that asking for help and being vulnerable can be safe.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up July 24th through the 26th in Washington, D.C. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I leave here with hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep, and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com, tv.newlife.com.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And before we go back to Charles, I want to read you a testimony from Healing is a Choice. It's from Ken. He said, before going to Healing is a Choice, there was so much fear to share or even to let others know about my condition. And it really hurt my relationship with my wife. He was looking forward to getting some answers and some solutions, and the weekend was an eye-opener. He learned to change his mindset and perspective on the relationship. He says, I felt safe to share my struggles without judgment. That's a big deal, I think. Mm-hmm. He said, I understand now that we're all broken, and the healing process requires us to connect with others and take time to work on it. And he said he's got the tools to do that now. He says, if you go to the workshop, you are making the best decision in your life because every person is broken one way or another and needs help to get the healing process started. Well, so often we wait for God to do what God's waiting for us to do. And one of the things God might be waiting for you to do is do something.
Mm-hmm,
do
yes.
something. And that is a major something about fear and shame and rage. Healing is a choice. July 24th in Washington, D.C. You can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, Charles, we really feel for your situation and the amount of time that it's gone on, and I'm really glad that there's a reason for you to call, that you guys are about to face the old empty nest, and you're thinking about this, and maybe that will motivate both of you to do some things from a different perspective.
Well, and I was thinking, Charles, that I was wondering, what work have you done personally? Like, you know, as you've experienced this over these 20 years, you know, you had suggested she go to a counselor and that, you know, maybe couples counseling, but what kind of work have you done to heal your own heart in this marriage?
I've went to counseling on my own for a good bit. I haven't been recently, but I went there. I went counseling several times to a Christian counselor, and I really think that helped things kind of hold together as well as they have.
Right. Well,
so does several times mean two or three times, or you mean ongoing for a while?
Oh, I would say probably 30, 40 times, maybe.
Okay. One of the things that we were talking about in marriage, you know, you described how your wife was impacting your life because of what she was going through. And, you know, it's tough. It is tough. But I would encourage you to continue doing your own work, because you can have, you know, some impact in this in a positive way. You know, where as you continue to do work and interact with her differently, as opposed to what's been going on, which is like, don't ask, don't tell, we're going to
keep
the
distance.
Right,
you guys have this rhythm, and you've got to change the dance steps here. And so one of the things, Charles, to be working on for you is your discomfort with conflict, right? Because we were thinking that, you know, her either fragility or her anger and rage, you know, kind of keeps a lid on things. It's like, oh, don't want to step on that landmine.
Right.
And I think you're going to have to risk stepping on a few landmines, because things need to be different. Now, I don't mean just charge in and completely, you know, turn things upside down, but you're going to have to, you know, be the advocate for something changing here, or you guys are going to have nothing.
Right.
Charles, what advice were you given in relation to all of this?
Well, that it wasn't her fault, wasn't my fault personally.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so what were you told to do about it?
Us, really sort of the same thing, that nothing would change unless I approached the subject. But when I do, it seems to have went nowhere. And it's been a few months ago, she just kind of had a nervous breakdown. You know, she just kind of broke down, and that's what prompted her to get into counseling and the psychiatrist. She just fell apart.
So that's scary for you, too.
Yeah, that's scary, but that's actually a good thing, because she's, you know, her defenses are breaking down a bit. And I'm wondering, too, with her daughter leaving home, that is going to free up some of her, you know, focus and attention. And a lot of people, you know, have a struggle when their kids leave home and in that transition. But that could actually be a good thing, because if she can't keep stuff down and hidden and out of mind, then she is going to have to deal with it. And I think that's where you lovingly move towards her and tell her that you're going to be with her, that you understand how hard it is and how scared she is, but it's time.
Yeah. You know, there's an old, it's an Old Testament principle. It comes out of Jeremiah 6:14, and it says, they offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. Mm-hmm. And this is an example of somebody telling you something that's kind of superficial. Well, you know, it's in your fault, it's not her fault.
Right.
What you really need is, you don't need superficial treatments. You need deep surgery.
Right.
I would be talking with her about, we've got a lot of years together.
Yeah.
30 years, 40 years. And it's time for us both to do some surgery.
Right.
Because...
and it's not an option not to.
It's not too late, and we have to. And life is going to be totally different. But all of this pain that's being avoided is preventing the healing that you need. And so, when Ken Taylor did the Living Bible, he said he interpreted that verse, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. And you guys, then you go to Proverbs 10:10, when you wink it wrong, you cause trouble. And here we got to help. I want to help you off the air. We want to help you find the surgery that you need for the deep, deep pain that's been within her and is within you, because there's great potential. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Washington, D.C., July 24th through the 26th.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the seven things that you need to stop right now, and the seven things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artiburn here. And we do have some things coming up. You know, we do have an amazing Marriage Solution Weekend, also the same weekend as Healing is a Choice. You know, this summer, I mean, that's July 24th. This summer could be the beginning of everything new in your life, if you would just do something about it. Now, Every Man's Battle is July the 10th in my backyard in Indianapolis. I would love to see you there. There's just something very healing about Indianapolis. I don't know what it is, but it's exhaust fumes.
No place
from
like
the
home.
Exactly.
Lots of people from California going
so
there.
Come. I want to meet you there. If and, you know, here's how this happens. Just the opposite of this last phone call. It's when a woman says, okay, you do something, or you're telling me you don't love me, you don't care, and so we're done. And then he comes, and everything is different. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've seen guys that would say, the last place I want to be is there, and then they're ready to go on a road trip with some guys.
Right.
In fact, they do. They buy a motorcycle, and they're out of there, and everybody's happy. But anyway, it works better than that, actually. It's a good thing. So you come and be with us, or you demand somebody be with us, for Every Man's Battle, July the 10th in Indianapolis. Now, before I go to the next caller, we really do need your help. And one of the great things that you could do for $30 a month is join Club New Life. If you will, we will send you the most fabulous, fun-filled thank you that we've ever done. We'll send you Dr. John Townsend's book, You Can Do This. A lot of people think they can't. You can. And he tells you how. And then we've downloaded the best from tv.newlife.com. We've also included a bag. I use mine for the beach. You can use it for the grocery store. It's got our logo on it and our tree that has a brain right in the middle of it. And then also the ultimate mug with New Life's logo on it and a little encouragement there. We haven't done a mug since Paul Meyer was around. And
since that's we
a
did long those time. Caricatures, right?
Right.
All over the-
yeah.
So, you know you want a mug. Call and join Club New Life. Not only do you get a mug, but you're helping make a difference
right.
in the lives of so many people.
It's a pot belly shape.
That's right.
And which
then you can
a lot
go to Loser for Life. It,
you can. If you resemble the mug, you can go there. So call us and say, okay, $30 a month, I want to change a lot of people's lives.
That's right.
We'll send you all of that. Our way of saying thank you, and you get discounts on everything that we do. So we really want you to do that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's talk to Shelley from Fort Worth, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hi, Shelley. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question for y'all is this. My daughter has recently attempted suicide by shooting herself, and she has survived.
I'm so sorry, Shelley. Wow.
Since this has happened, I have developed resentful feelings for her, and I really don't know how to deal with it.
Okay.
But my question is maybe if I could suggest, some ways to forgive,
Shelley,
and to deal with.
Shelley. So, why did she do it? What would be the source of her despair?
She told me at first it wasn't me,
Okay.
And then after she survived, because she called me the night that she was going to do it.
Yeah, just tell me the thing that would be the big, big pain or ache or disappointment or shame in her life that would lead her to that.
I think it's the loss of her child that was taken away from her, and also her lifestyle. She is a prostitute and does things like that, and I think it's just shame.
Okay. Now, you're resentful, you say.
Yes.
Of her for doing that. Tell us about that. Why is that the place you went, is to resent her for taking her life, for trying to take her life?
Well, because she didn't think about anybody else, just herself. She doesn't think about her child or her family or, anything since then. And she has not changed since the incident has happened. So I'm mad and angry towards her, towards the attitude since then.
Okay, so any thoughts on what might have led her to all these places of desperation, such as prostitution, attempted suicide, losing her child? Any thoughts about where did all that come from? What was it like for her?
Dysfunctional family. We had, she lived in a dysfunctional family. I know I was a single parent, and I know our family unit was very dysfunctional. Which has been since I was raised in a dysfunctional family.
Well, what does that mean, though, dysfunctional? What does that mean? Was she sexually abused? And was the violence against her? Was she beaten? Or?
No, she wasn't abused, but she saw me in multiple violent relationships. She never had a father for her. I was raised around violence, and my dad abused my mother.
Okay.
Things like that.
So, what can we do to help you get out of the resentment and bitterness and anger and disappointment into trying to create a little different world?
I have a
for
question.
Her where there would be hope in the midst of this. Becky has a
question. I have a question, Shelley. Is she your only daughter?
No, I have another daughter.
Is she your
two daughters?
Is she your oldest?
She's my youngest.
Okay, well, I just wondered. The reason why I asked that is because sometimes when you're in an abusive or a violent situation, it's like it's us against the world. And as a single mom, it must have been tough to provide for them and to do what you could for them. And then,
Well, what's going on with your other daughter?
She has some issues as well, some depression, low self-esteem. She's, of course, scared of stranger. Both of them have post-traumatic syndrome disorder.
Okay, so Becky, what if you took a different approach on all of this and said, I am going to try to engage in...
Shelly,
that you're going to try to engage in your daughter's life from a different perspective. You're going to try to go to some things with her, take her to some healing things with her. You're not going to judge her, lecture her, criticize her anymore. It's going to be all encouragement. And you're going to ask her, hey, would you come go to this trauma survivors meeting with me or this recovery meeting with me? Can I come pick you up? Could I come bring you some brownies? Or, you know, that you start putting into her life free of judgment, criticism, and disappointment.
Yeah, that would be great. Ashley, I have, when she was between the age of 14 and 16, I had put her in 12 different behavioral facilities trying to get her help. And then from 16 to 18, she was a runaway. She was also a runaway 14 times.
Okay, that's great history to know, but...
But that's probably where her resentment is coming from, right, Shelley?
Well, right. You've done a lot as a single mom, and I'm sure there's a part of you that says, look, I've lived through horrific things, and I'm still here trying to make life work. But I think, Steve, what you're saying is she kind of has to suspend her resentment and do what it takes, because someone
yes.
who tries to shoot themselves, that is lethal. That's different than taking pills
right.
and saying, I just want to get out of my pain. That's like, I intend to hurt myself to do away with
right.
myself.
And so
that takes precedence over anything else.
Anything other than comfort and affirmation would be a horrible, listen to this part, it could sound judgmental, but it's just being directional here. It'd be a horrible mistake to do anything but to comfort and affirm her, encourage her, and then offer engagement with her to where you're able to say, I will distance myself, I will step back, and nothing that she says will trigger me back into the critical, angry, disappointed mother, which is very easy for you to get into, evidenced by a suicide attempt produces anger. I'm so glad you called us about this
right.
because you could be talking to somebody that would say you're entitled to that and you ought to express that to her and all those kinds of things. That's just not going to help.
No, because that's when she's at a higher level of functioning. She's at a
later
much lower level of functioning, and she can't hear that from you right now. And that's about you. You need to be solely focused on her and getting her help.
Well, and I'd just say,
I would say,
Shelly, take care of you as well, because if you're helping her...
But with other people.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so I want you to hold on, because in Fort Worth, so many great, great resources, huge churches that have all of these different things that you guys could do together, and ministries that you could be involved with that would help build her up. And I pray for her right now, and I ask everybody else to just pray for her that she will find some hope and some healing here.
Healing as a choice would be good for her.
We'll be back right after this, Allison.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number. And I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Don't forget tv.newlife.com. I think there's a 4th of July special coming up where you get, for the 4th, you get 4 free months if you want it.
Wow. Sounds like a great deal.
Yeah.
tv.newlife.com. 850 programs. Pretty exciting. It's changing a lot of people's lives. Just go check it out. I think you'll really like it. All right. Let's go to, why don't we talk with John? No, I tell you what, I've only got time for Mary. John, I'm sorry, call us back. Maybe tomorrow we can deal with you. We would love to, or Monday. But I got to go to Mary from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Anybody else that's there, hold on. Maybe we can help you off the air. Mary, Washington, D.C., how are you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How can we help?
I'm the wife of a pastor,
mm-hmm.
and one of our female parishioners came to me in confidence. And
a female what? One of your female what?
Parishioner. Members of our church.
Okay, a member. All right.
Yeah, she came to me in confidence. She said, I need to tell you something. I need to confess something. And, you know, I need you to, you know, really be... hold this to yourself. And of course I promised her that, you mm-hmm. know, as long as it wasn't putting anybody else's life in danger or whatever.
Yeah.
She's dealing with some issues. She struggled with I think she's been in a homosexual relationship in the past. She's now married to a man, so mm-hmm. you know, she's not in that lifestyle anymore. But she said that she's been struggling with her with feelings for another woman. And she's been dealing with it for the past year.
Yeah, right.
And that's fine. I gave mm-hmm. her a little bit of advice or whatever. But
okay.
Then she proceeds to tell me that I am the object of her affection.
All right.
And so now I'm trying to figure out, because she told me this in confidence, I'm trying to figure out what my next steps are and how do I deal with this, or how do I handle this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you called us. So what do you guys think? What is the next step for her?
Well, Mary, I think, you know, this a lot of times is a very common situation with someone like yourself who is in the limelight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're the pastor's wife, so thus, you know, you would tend to get idealized. And, you know, for a lot of women, you know, I'm wondering, she's in this marriage, you know, perhaps it's not as ideal as she had hoped, and
right.
it didn't solve everything in terms of her feelings and her longings. And so, you know, first of all, she hasn't gotten to the bottom of what that's all about for her.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, I think, you know, to not be afraid of it, number one.
Right.
Two, see it as an opportunity that you can actually aid in her healing by being a woman with strong boundaries.
Right.
To care
okay.
about her, because at the root of a lot of this, especially for women, is a mother love, a mother hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
okay.
just, it's gotten sexualized and gone over into those types of relationships. And so, and the idea of separateness, I mean, they have this need to really kind of merge
right.
and be so close, almost like going back to the womb. And so to say,
right.
you know what, I will be your friend. You know, that's, I thank you for sharing, and obviously, you know, that isn't where my heart is at. And I think what you need is a woman that you can have a platonic relationship with and hold those strong boundaries and see that it can be, you know, loving and kind, but we don't go there.
Right. I can't. Exactly. That's a perfect, perfect way to deal with it.
And even more perfect would be to suggest to your husband that he start to maybe put into this woman's husband that he maybe decide to take the guy to lunch and not you know, lecture or whatever, but just start to develop a relationship with him, which would be really great. See, because then maybe you guys could integrate into their lives as a couple rather than just you.
Yeah, not just you solo.
As a,
And the crazy part is that that's actually what we've been doing with them. Like, my husband has a, you know, kind of had a discipleship relationship with him, and we were doing things with them as a couple, but I'm not really sure. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't want to, and I said to her, I said, I don't want to cause you to you know, if I put you in an uncomfortable position, like, I don't know. It's like, now I don't know if I should be around her,
well,
but
do
I don't
you,
want
okay,
to, like,
so
I'm not going to be around you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be her friend because I want to help her through whatever she's struggling with,
right.
But I also
and so,
don't want to be a hindrance to,
Well,
you know,
right, it feels kind of awkward when you're not used to that. Right?
Right.
So,
right.
But I think her being able to tell you that helps to break some of it. And so I think, you know, that it's important that she also learn to take those thoughts captive and to not go there. And that's where she also needs to work with a therapist.
And I would just say that it's you would do well to have a very wise female mentor to help you deal with how to deal with this. Because I'm really glad you called us. Because you don't want to always see her as just somebody that has feelings for you. You want to see her as a whole person, and obviously some unresolved things that maybe she was hoping would get better with marriage didn't. And she's told you about other folks she's had these feelings for. So, you know, there is this amazing ability to resolve those kinds of outside of marriage feelings and come back and start to focus on and receive fulfillment from the very person you're alienated from. And, you know, a lot of people, she might say, well, you know, the reason that I had this problem is I had all these same-sex relationships before I got married. But everybody has an excuse to be alienated from or to think that they have to go outside the marriage to have some kind of fulfillment.
Well, people think of old boyfriends all the time when they're disappointed in marriage.
I was just going to say, maybe you do, Jill.
Well, I'm not married.
No.
Sorry about that.
Jill can think of old boyfriends.
That's right. You know? That's right.
Respectfully. Okay. All right. Well, listen, if you are stuck on an old boyfriend, if it's just can't get it out of your head, we want to help you with that. You call us at 1-800 New Life, 1-800-NEWLIFE. If you need some help, we want to help you. I do want to mention Women of Faith coming up, Oklahoma City. I'll be there, and that is the same weekend as Healing is a Choice. So I'm going to be there, and then I'm going to fly out to Washington, D.C. for that. But Women of Faith is on tour. You can find out all about Women of Faith at newlife.com, womenoffaith.com, and you put in SA20, and you'll get $20 off of a ticket there. Also, I mentioned tv.newlife.com, a very, very transformational experience for a lot of people finding out what it is they needed to know about a specific issue, just like this whole thing of the latest one I put on there was covert narcissism, about the hidden narcissist, which are, I tell you, it's so much fun with my son. He is able to see somebody in a role on a cartoon and go, "Now, Dad, that's a narcissist."
Yeah.
I don't know why he's so good at pointing that out.
Oh,
I don't know.
I don't either. Can't imagine.
Anyway.
Can't imagine.
There's a wonderful feature on TV.newlife.com called a Message to My Former 18-Year-Old Self. You can see some things that we recorded there. I showed one to Solomon, and Solomon is doing one, a little message to his future self to remind himself what he doesn't ever want to give up when he's an adult.
Oh, that's great.
That's my boy. All right, if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to see you at Every Man's Battle, July the 10th. Healing is a Choice, the Marriage Solution Weekend. Help us if you can at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you. We care about you. Hope you have a great weekend. Go to church. That's where God will speak to you. Talk to you later. Thanks, Becky.
Thanks for letting me be here.
Thanks to all these people in the studio, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.